Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Dr. Ed Staffel, and you're listening to the Dr. Staffel program, and your smile matters on this beautiful Sunday afternoon. I have a wonderful guest, Dr. Nathan Bryant, PhD. He's been on my show several times, and you're going to learn something really valuable today. So don't change that dial. And remember that you can pick up this show on a free podcast, staffelDDS.podomatic.com. It'll be up and running after the show is over. Web address is sanantoniodentist.net. So I want you to pay attention to this program because of enormously valuable information that you're going to hear. And remember my free podcast site, staffelDDS.podomatic.com. You can pull that up at any time, download it to your computer. We have over 7 years archived. And but you can hear this program almost right away. Our producer, Chris, gets a hold of it and puts it on the podcast right away. So today, my guest is Dr. Nathan Bryant. Dr. Bryant, how are you today?
Hi, Dr. Steph. I'm doing great. Thank you.
Oh, you're coming down good, loud, and clear. And I want you to talk a little bit in just a moment about how you got to where you are now. But I want to pique my listeners' interest, and today we're going to be looking at one of the very core elements of health. And what is that? It's oxygen, of all things. And so, Dr. Bryant, you have a distinguished career. Give us some background of how you got to where you are now.
Sure, Dr. Steph. Well, I've went to the University of Texas at Austin and got a degree in biochemistry, and from there I went to LSU School of Medicine in Shreveport, and then from Shreveport went up to Boston University Medical Center and did some fellowship training in cardiovascular physiology, and then I was recruited by one of the gentlemen who shared the Nobel Prize for the discovery of nitric oxide back in 2005. So I took a faculty position at UT Medical School in Houston, and I was there for about 9 years, and today I'm currently at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston at the Texas Medical Center. But really, I've spent my entire career studying nitric oxide. It's now recognized as one of the most important molecules produced in the human body. It controls and regulates oxygen delivery and oxygen uptake, which I think we'll talk about in a lot of depth today.
Oh, listen, I just appreciate you so much for taking your busy, busy time out of your Sunday afternoon and sharing it with us. And, you know, it's very interesting. Cardiovascular disease, with all of the interesting advances in the research and the surgery and so on, is still the number one killer, isn't it?
It is. It's the number one killer of men and women worldwide. It kills more people than cancer. So we have to, you know, we've learned a lot in these past 20 years on what leads to the onset and progression of cardiovascular disease, and we've made some cool advancements in the nitric oxide field that can actually prevent a lot of the cardiovascular-related deaths.
All right, so let's start with the very beginning. I was preparing for the show and looking at different things, I'm thinking oxygen, and I've had multiple shows on recently on sleep disordered breathing, and some very incredible people, board certified in medicine doctors, both surgeons and internal medicine, and the sleep disordered breathing is really coming along, getting a lot of attention, and it's all about oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing but oxygen, and yet the problems caused by lack of oxygen in the human body are just massive, it seems like. So we'll put that aside, but go to oxygen, and since you've studied this, you're an orthomolecular biologist, right?
I'm a biochemist and a physiologist by training, but yeah, I like this whole concept of orthomolecular medicine. It's the right molecule at the right time and right place at the right dose.
All right. Give my listeners a view of oxygen and how important it is, and some of the few things that we need to be aware of, if you would.
Sure. Well, you know, we think food and water is certainly important for survival, but, you know, we can live a couple of weeks without food, we can live about a week without any water, but we can only live about 6 minutes without oxygen. And if you think oxygen's not important, just try holding your breath for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So we need oxygen. The air we breathe is 21% oxygen, and so our body takes it up, it utilizes it to make cellular energy, reduces it to water in the mitochondria, and in that process generates cellular energy. So if you don't have sufficient oxygen, and there's conditions such as COPD or chronic obstructive pulmonary diseases, from smokers, if you go to high altitude, you begin to really appreciate the importance of oxygen because the partial pressure of oxygen is lower up there, so you're breathing in less oxygen. But, you know, that's what we feel basically from just breathing every day. But there's certain conditions. Most chronic diseases or conditions are associated with reduced oxygen delivery or availability in individual cells and tissues. And so over time, if you starve these cells and tissue of oxygen, then you're slowly dying. And I think that's really the effects of aging. And we understand now that if you can efficiently deliver oxygen to the tissues and then improve the efficiency of oxygen utilization to make cellular energy or ATP, then you can combat and prevent a lot of these age-related diseases. So you're spot on in terms of the importance of oxygen. And we've learned in the nitric oxide field that if you don't have sufficient nitric oxide in the lining of your blood vessels or in the red blood cells, which deliver oxygen to the individual cells, then you can't offload the oxygen. So the delivery mechanism of the blood delivery of oxygen is broken without nitric oxide.
Well, now, one of the things that is so unique about oxygen, I think, is that it's all the bad things in the body, not all the bad things, but a lot of the bad bugs and problems are caused by anaerobic bacteria. And these are bacteria, fungi, viruses, and so on, protozoa, that don't need oxygen. And yet, oxygen levels in the body can wipe these out. Is that a correct statement?
That is true. So most well-perfused and oxygenated tissues are actually resistant to infection. And so if you efficiently, and to the contrary, that if your body's not able to deliver adequate oxygen, it creates what we call a hypoxic or low oxygen environment for these pathogenic bacteria to respire and then proliferate and release toxins and make people sick. The other thing that it does is it allows cancer cells to sit in and grow, because cancer only grows in a low oxygen, low pH environment.
And that's huge.
It is huge. It gets back. I mean, we understand this now from the molecular and cellular, subcellular biology and mechanisms of all this, so it's very clear. So controlling oxygen delivery, oxygen metabolism at the level of the mitochondria is really of critical importance for health and wellness.
Now, I've read a statement, and I'd like to get your opinion of it. All disease is a lack of enough oxygen to clean our inner fluid environments. Meaning, like, our body is a ocean of fluid, and it gets contaminated, and oxygen is the molecule or the atom that can clear out these toxins and problems. Is that accurate?
Well, I think in a sense it is, because in order for individual cells to do their job, they have to have the energy or the currency to carry out those functions. And that currency that they use to perform their individual cellular functions is dependent upon oxygen, because oxygen is what goes to make ATP, so you can actually clear cellular debris or toxins or bacteria from cells if you have enough cellular energy for the cell to do its job. So without sufficient oxygen, the cell becomes dysfunctional, and that's really the etiology of most age-related diseases.
So plentiful oxygen are going to remove the toxins from the body.
Yeah, it can, but here's the kicker, Dr. Staffel. I mean, you see this all the time in the intensive care units where people are given 100% oxygen through a nasal cannula or through an oxygen mask.
Uh-huh.
But what we're realizing that if you don't fix their nitric oxide production, then they can't utilize the oxygen. So we're supplying their blood with oxygen, but because nitric oxide is critical for the delivery of oxygen to the periphery, to the tissues, that if you don't fix their nitric oxide, they're still experiencing a low oxygen hypoxic environment.
Well, we know we need oxygen throughout our body. We need oxygen throughout the whole body, constantly needs oxygen, and every cell needs constant oxygen. It's involved in all of our bodily functions. But the majority of us take for granted the use of oxygen and how essential it is for sustaining not only life, but quality of life. So I salute you for all of the work that you and your research team out of the University of Texas Medical School in Houston. So bring us up to date on the latest. I know you, since you've been on, you have a lot of interesting information, and we're going to talk about some really good information about stem cells if we have time. If not, we'll carry that program on. But bring us up to date on nitric oxide and what the research is coming out constantly about how valuable this is to every cell in the body and how important it is, and people should be using this product.
Sure. Well, nitric oxide, I guess, to kind of get to the basics, it was discovered back in the late 70s, early 80s, and it's a molecule produced by the lining of the blood vessels that tells the blood vessels to dilate or relax so you can actually get more oxygen and nutrients delivered to individual cells. It regulates blood pressure, regulates, controls the blood flow to all tissues and organs. In fact, loss of nitric oxide is why people experience erectile dysfunction or sexual dysfunction. You've lost the ability to dilate blood vessels and get blood flow to certain organs. But it's also how our immune system fights off pathogens such as bacteria, viruses, and it's a neurotransmitter in the central nervous system. And so when we lose the ability to make nitric oxide, it's recognized now with over 140,000 papers published in the medical literature and scientific literature, loss of nitric oxide is one of the earliest events in the onset and progression of most, if not all, chronic diseases. So we've identified what we consider the holy grail in cardiovascular medicine is nitric oxide. And so our discoveries over the past 15 years has recognized how the body makes nitric oxide, what goes wrong in people that can't make nitric oxide, and then we've figured out how to fix it. We can fix the enzyme that makes nitric oxide, but we've also discovered a way that you can use diet and lifestyle and certain oral bacteria, which is critically important for dental medicine, to restore nitric oxide. And so now we have the tools, both from a diagnostic standpoint and from a therapeutic, kind of a supplemental technology that can restore the body's own ability to make nitric oxide. And when you do that, we see blood pressure become more normalized. We see an improvement in exercise performance. So young, well-trained athletes out there who want a competitive advantage, they have to consider our nitric oxide technology. We've actually been able to, in some clinical trials and some pediatric patients with rare genetic disorders, so an inborn error metabolism where they're born without specific enzymes, we're actually able to fix their underlying condition. So there's really nothing that we haven't been able to do in terms of fixing the nitric oxide in a wide variety of different people, whether it's healthy people who just want to improve their nitric oxide capacity, or if it's really sick people who've lost the ability to make it, we can improve their body's own ability to make nitric oxide. And you see them improve dramatically. We get some really, really nice stories. I get hundreds of emails every week from people who experience life-changing events just by considering nitric oxide.
Now, as we age, what is the age that this production of nitric oxide starts diminishing, would you say?
Well, in some people, it starts as early as the late teens, early 20s, and we lose about 10 to 12% of our nitric oxide production per decade.
Why would a teen be affected by this?
Well, it's really, there's a lot of lifestyle and
okay.
dietary decisions that people make that affect their nitric oxide. But, you know, we know there's some 30- and 40-year-old people such as myself who have the nitric oxide capacity of a 18- or 20-year-old. We know there are 18- or 20-year-old kids who eat a poor diet, who are sedentary, mm-hmm. and don't get enough physical exercise. They have the nitric oxide capacity of a 60- or 70-year-old person. So you're really in control of your own nitric oxide production based on the foods you eat, the decisions you make, whether to get exercise or not. So it's a complicated science, but really it comes down to diet and lifestyle. It's really not rocket science. But what we find is that people don't want to eat the right foods, or perhaps can't because they don't like the taste. And we're a busy society where people don't have the time to get moderate physical exercise. So what our technology has done is basically give, if your body can't make nitric oxide, then we do it for you. So if you don't have time to exercise, then a daily nitric oxide supplement can basically mimic the effects of exercise. If you don't want to eat green leafy vegetables or beets, a lot of people don't like that, then you can take our Neo 40 and get the nitric oxide capacity of eating six beets or eating some green leafy vegetables.
Now, Deepak Chopra, his world-renowned physician, has recently came out with a book, and he says that 5% of health problems have a genetic basis and that 95% are lifestyle. So that's exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think most diseases are caused by a specific nutrient deficiency or some environmental toxicant. I mean, it was Hippocrates many centuries ago who said, let food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food. The issue now, as I think with the farming practices of today, that a lot of our food are grown in nutrient-depleted soil. So, you know, even if we decide to eat right, we're not guaranteed that we're going to get all the nutrients we need for our body to function properly. The other thing we focused on is, what does the body need to make nitric oxide? What are the individual nutrients or molecules the body needs to make nitric oxide? So for instance, I go to Whole Foods and I can buy some lettuce or kale or beets off the shelf and do a nutrient density analysis, and a lot of the things that we measure to make nitric oxide, and find that some are completely depleted, others have somewhat normal levels, and some are actually high. So you never know what you're getting. So what we've done is standardized that to where you always know that if you take our nitric oxide technology, you're always going to get a certain amount of nitric oxide delivered every single time, and you'll see and feel the effects.
Now, a question that I've been wondering about is, what is the potassium content in Neo 40?
You know, there's very little potassium. I mean, it's made up of beetroot extract. There's a little bit of potassium in the beetroot extract.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not enough to give you what you need for the recommended daily allowance for potassium.
Okay. Well, I was just curious about that because potassium is such an overlooked item, especially with magnesium. So now, with the Neo 40, the 40 comes in from the standpoint that's sort of the benchmark of when you start losing your capacity to produce the Neo 40 in your vessels.
We named that product Neo 40, I guess about 8 years ago, 7 or 8 years ago, when we first launched the company and had the technology ready for market. And it was based on kind of the new 40. We know that on average, by the time you're 40 years old, you only have about 50% of the nitric oxide you had when you were younger.
50%.
And really what happened, and I think it's fair enough to say that most people start to feel the effects of aging around 40.
Yeah.
You know, obviously you don't perform as well as you did in the athletic field. A lot of people start experiencing a lot of mental fog. They don't perform as well as they did in the boardroom. And perhaps the most important is they don't perform as well as they did in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
So people start to feel these effects of aging. And we thought, okay, if we can supply nitric oxide to this aging population, which, by the way, people over 40 is the largest demographic in the history of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So we know we have the technology now available to affect their nitric oxide production, promote it, and if the science is correct, which by all bets it is, then we can prevent a lot of these age-related diseases.
Well, aging, anti-aging is really a big hot subject that's going on. And again, it goes back to the basic premise of oxygen being so valuable to clearing out toxins. And one of the things I was impressed with is that healthy cells don't have this, or they have antioxidant protection, which keeps oxygen from burning up cells. Mm-hmm. And so disease cells do not have that antioxidant protection. So this goes along with the value of raising this oxygen level in your bloodstream, right?
Yeah, so I mean, a lot of it depends on how well our body delivers oxygen to individual cells.
Mm-hmm.
But most aging is associated with mitochondrial dysfunction, and the mitochondria are the organelles in the cell that actually utilize oxygen to make cellular energy that the cell can then use to perform whatever metabolic functions it is, whether it's a hepatocyte that's helping to clear and break down drugs, or a Kupffer cell or a white blood cell that's fighting off infections. It's that oxygen that goes to make cellular ATP that allows the cell to do that job. And so if the mitochondria become dysfunctional, the interesting thing about nitric oxide, too, is nitric oxide is what controls and regulates the function of mitochondria. And it's not just the function of the mitochondria, but actually the number of mitochondria that are performing and utilizing oxygen to make ATP. So if you lose the ability to make nitric oxide, mitochondria become dysfunctional. So it's kind of a perfect storm, because not only you're not getting sufficient oxygen to the individual cells, but the mitochondria become dysfunctional because of lack of nitric oxide, and so you're not able to utilize that oxygen very efficiently. And so that causes a lot of oxidative stress. You get electron leakage, you get superoxide production, and the cell becomes damaged and dysfunctional. So if you can fix all that, and the literature is replete with a number of studies showing that nitric oxide can recouple the mitochondrial electron transport chain, it can increase the efficiency of oxygen utilization. In fact, the cell can actually use less oxygen to make cellular energy when there's sufficient nitric oxide production.
All right. For my listeners, explain, you hear this word a lot, mitochondria. Explain exactly what that is. It's, as I understand, it's in each and every cell.
It is. So if we think back to even high school biology, the mitochondria, what we consider the powerhouse of the cell, that really be
like energy, a spark plug?
The spark
in
plug.
In an engine?
The energy-producing factory of individual cells. And so there's a number of mitochondria, and they differ based on different cell types. Like, for instance, skeletal muscle, particularly brown meat. So if you think of chicken, you know, you got white meat and dark meat.
Mm-hmm.
The dark meat is dark because it has a lot more mitochondria.
Oh, really?
These are the muscles that require more energy during exercise. And so the number and the efficiency of mitochondria are determined by the cell's ability to make nitric oxide.
Really? So when you have wild game that has all dark meat.
That's right. That's an indication that those individual cell types and those muscle fibers have a lot of mitochondria.
And they are the most important things for your energy?
Well, they are. So when people talk about energy, you know, it's, a lot of people think it's a subjective thing. They just feel tired or exhausted or fatigued.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, energy is really how well the mitochondria utilize oxygen to make ATP.
Okay.
And ATP is this, it's called adenosine triphosphate. It's what, it's kind of like the energy currency of the cell. It's what, how the cells perform all its biological functions.
Okay, that's very interesting. And so, now how does nitric oxide, or let me back up, how does Neo40 become a donor for nitric oxide, and what does that do to the vessels, percentage-wise?
Yeah, it's a very good question. You know, I've spent about 16 years on the basic science around the Neo40 technology. And so the whole purpose for this was really, how do we fix the enzyme that makes nitric oxide? And then through some natural product chemistry, we discovered if your body can't make nitric oxide, then you need to give it an exogenous source of NO. So if you can't make NO, then we need to do it for you. And so the Neo40 is really a culmination of that 16 years of work, whereby we have some natural product chemistry, meaning we've identified some extracts from hawthorn berry and beetroot that in the right environment and in the right so-called composition of matter, it generates nitric oxide. So the Neo40 is an orally disintegrating tablet, which means we've designed it to have a specific resident time in the mouth. So you put it in your mouth, it's activated by your saliva, and it'll take about 4 to 6 minutes to fully dissolve. And that's by design, because we want to control and dictate the metabolic fate of that nitric oxide. So we know how much nitric oxide a healthy 22-year-old person makes in a 24-hour period, and so we basically give that back to the body.
Okay.
So when that lozenge is dissolving, it's generating 25 to 30 parts per million nitric oxide gas. It's the only technology in the world that generates nitric oxide gas. There are a number of other nitric oxide products on the market, but their whole philosophy is, well, let's give the body what it needs to make nitric oxide.
Mm-hmm.
But if the enzyme that makes nitric oxide is broken, it's like putting gas in a car with a blown-up engine.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't fixed anything. So what we do, what the Neo 40 does is, number one, as I mentioned, it generates nitric oxide. So if your body can't make it, we make it for you.
Okay.
So you're always going to get nitric oxide released from the Neo 40 lozenge. But number two, really getting to the root of the problem, and it goes back to this enzyme that becomes dysfunctional that makes nitric oxide. So we've got clinical data and a lot of science to demonstrate that within 4 hours of taking a Neo 40, we fix the enzyme, and you see about a 15% improvement in our body's own ability to make nitric oxide.
Mm.
So we've accomplished and we've demonstrated this in a number of clinical trials for what we originally set out for. Number one, give the human body a source of nitric oxide. And number two, fix the underlying problem. Fix the body's own ability to make nitric oxide. And so that's exactly what the Neo 40 technology does. I have 8 or 9 issued patents here in the U.S. and worldwide on that technology. We have 6 published randomized controlled clinical trials. So it's been tested. We licensed this from the University of Texas Medical School in Houston. They own my patents per my employment agreement there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think what's important for your listeners to consider is, as you learn more about nitric oxide, I encourage people to do their own research. But, you know, when you're looking for a nitric oxide product, there's really 3 to 4 fundamental questions you have to ask yourself. Number one, is it the product licensed from a university or a medical school? And typically that means there's been some research done behind it. Number two, are there any patents? If there's any patents around a specific nitric oxide product,
mm-hmm.
then you can be sure there's some innovation, there's something new, or else it wouldn't be patentable. Number three, are there any clinical trials done on that specific product?
Okay.
And not an ingredient in the product. So a lot of companies are putting beetroot extract in their product because there's been a number of studies showing that beets can lower blood pressure and improve performance. But if that product has not actually been tested itself in clinical trials, then it probably doesn't work. And so the Neo 40, we've actually, as I mentioned, got 6 published trials.
Okay.
And then the fourth thing I think is important to consider is look at the company and the formulator behind the product and technology. If the company or the formulator or the inventor of that product has not published in the nitric oxide literature, then chances are they don't know much about nitric oxide biology.
Right.
So how are they going to develop a safe and effective nitric oxide technology or product? Because the chemistry and biochemistry is very complicated and complex. I've been in this field, I've spent my entire career working on nitric oxide, so I understand how the body makes nitric oxide, what it needs to make it to fix the underlying problem. And I think if your listeners ask themselves those 4 questions, despite the hundreds, dozens, perhaps hundreds of nitric oxide products on the market, there's only one that you can answer yes to all 4 of those questions, and that's our Neo 40.
All right. Now then, in 1998, one of the people that you mentioned and 2 others won the Nobel Prize for discovering about arginine. So talk to us about arginine and its role in nitric oxide production and where y'all went from there.
Sure. So, yeah, in 1998, a Nobel Prize in medicine was awarded to 3 U.S. scientists for their discovery of nitric oxide as a signaling molecule in the cardiovascular system. And so, you know, drugs like nitroglycerin, which had been used for many, many years before it was ever discovered that it releases nitric oxide, these are nitric oxide-releasing drugs. That's why they're used for the treatment of acute angina or advanced coronary disease. It was also realized back in the early 80s, mid-80s, that the enzyme that I talk about that becomes dysfunctional actually utilizes L-arginine to make nitric oxide. But there's not a single human disease whereby L-arginine is ever the rate-limiting step or becomes mm-hmm. limiting in nitric oxide production. So giving more L-arginine doesn't make sense
mm-hmm.
because, again, if the engine that converts or the enzyme that converts arginine to nitric oxide is what's broken, it makes no sense to give arginine because you're putting gas in a car with a blown up engine.
Okay.
And so there's some limitations on the utility of using arginine in people that are nitric oxide deficient. In fact, there's several trials now showing that if you give arginine to sick patients, either patients who have just had a heart attack or patients with peripheral artery disease, that you can actually make them worse. And so a lot of these trials have been stopped because in a trial where they were giving this to post-infarct patients or patients who just had a heart attack, the arginine actually killed more of the patients than the placebo.
Goodness.
So they stopped the trial. So I think you can't be so naive to think that giving an arginine product to a sick nitric oxide deficient patient is going to fix the problem because, again, we have to fix the enzyme.
Now then, my understanding is that one of the values of the product is that it expands the blood flow, our 50 to 60,000 miles of vessels, like 30% in our capillaries, arteries, and veins, which is a huge number. Talk to us about that.
So we've published this data. So what we've done is we take individual subjects and then we, through ultrasound, the same ultrasound they use in obstetrics to image the baby. So you can actually image blood vessels in real time. So we get a still image of a blood vessel. We put the lozenge in their mouth, and 10 minutes later, we remeasure the diameter of the blood vessel.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're seeing on average is about a 13% increase in blood vessel dilation.
Okay.
And what people don't understand is, well, 13%, well, that doesn't sound like that big a deal. But understanding that the hemodynamics and the laws of physics tell us that the increase in blood flow is related to the radius of the blood vessel to the fourth power.
Okay.
So that translates into about a 60% increase in blood flow within 10 minutes. And so when you think about it, and that's just one blood vessel, that's actually the carotid that feeds the brain. And so a lot of people start to, their cognition improves, their memory improves, because we're basically opening up the blood vessels and getting more blood to the brain. But the same thing happens in the sex organs. You can actually open up the blood vessels and get blood flow going to those organs. If you're about to go for a walk or a jog, we can open up the blood vessels to the skeletal muscle, to the legs, where you can actually perfuse those and increase the efficiency of oxygen utilization and actually improve your workout and performance.
So what I'm hearing you saying, and I want to get this straight, that this Neo40 will increase the hemodynamic blood flow as much as 60% in 10 to 20 minutes after taking a lozenge?
That's correct.
Did I hear that right? Because I thought it was 30%, but here is the first time I heard it was 60%. That's incredible.
Well, we see that. I mean, it depends on the degree of constriction of the blood vessels. Some people, because they have really high blood pressure and what we call endothelial dysfunction, and their blood vessels are really clamped down and constricted, you can see that much. On average, in what we've published in the clinical trials, on average it's about 35 to 40%.
And so that's still significant. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's a huge increase in oxygen delivery and oxygen utilization throughout the body.
And then when we realize the value of oxygen in wiping out cancer, all of the negative bacteria and protozoa and viruses and so on, it just becomes an incredible thing that's happening. I'm going to stop here for just a minute. And I just want to talk to my listeners because I want to remind them, or probably don't know, haven't thought about it in that light, that a natural tooth has a longevity of about 80 years plus, which is just phenomenal. There's nothing that a dentist does that can match that 80% longevity. That's what, when you're born, your teeth are going to last you, or can last you, 80 plus years. So what happens? Well, a lot of things happen. A lot of people get very damaged by trauma, from dental issues, from dental treatment. And one of the things that we've taken under our wings is making the dental appointment the most comfortable appointment that you can possibly have. And we do this with three different systems. The one is a fabulous NuCom. It's just been upgraded where it's just incredible. The NuCom is an anxiety remediation system. We also use the laughing gas nitrous oxide. We also use a pill that will eliminate your memory from bad dental experiences. And so be sure and give us a call. Talk to Beth or Priscilla if you'd like more information on this. And we will, the one things we have a tremendous hygienist. We have a hygienist that will counsel you and help you learn how to keep that tooth to its expected longevity. And keeping that, your gums and your teeth in a state of health and infection-free and inflammation-free. So give us a call. That's Dr. Staffelin McLinn. And our number is 210-341-2569. And we'll help guide you and give you a program that can keep that tooth for your lifetime. Now, along this line, talk briefly about how important it is to have oral health if you're going to take Neo 40.
Well, the good thing about the Neo 40, it's not dependent upon your oral health because we've been able to overcome the limitations.
Oh, really? How neat.
From people. But I think what we can't overstate is the importance of oral health for your overall health. And I tell people all the time, if you've got a chronic disease or condition that your primary care physician hasn't been able to improve upon, then you need to go see a good dentist because a lot of systemic illnesses stem from poor oral health. In fact, it's been known for a number of years, a number of decades, that people with poor oral hygiene have a higher incidence of heart attack and stroke.
Huge, yes.
And so you have to go and get your oral hygiene fixed and improved and get rid of these anaerobic bacteria that are creating a lot of these toxins and illnesses, or else your body can never heal.
Now, you and your people just came back from an incredible meeting. One of the most exciting things, I think, that's on the medical field, and that's stem cells. And talk to us about what was discussed at the meeting and how Neo 40 fits into that, and what how your presentation was received. So,
yeah, so regenerative medicine is really this up-and-coming field. It's certainly the future of medicine, you know, whereby you can take your own stem cells, our own cells that are in our own body, and mobilize those to fix degenerative tissue. So what we're learning is that these being able to harvest our own cells and then give them back. You know, there's a lot of this going on in orthopedics. People with bad knees or joints, rather than having surgery, they can take their own stem cells and then inject it into the joint and release these growth factors and actually repair the tissue.
Mm.
So it's maybe a lot of people are getting enormous benefit from that without surgery. But here's what we're learning through all that. So if you're a sick person and you're considering getting stem cells, so you're sick, meaning your cells are dysfunctional in some capacity. And if the enzyme in our endothelial cells is dysfunctional, you know, what a lot of these people are doing is they collect what we call stromal vascular fraction. So it's through liposuction, you get fat, you get blood cells, blood vessels, endothelial progenitor cells, and so there's a makeup of different cell types. And then you can actually spin these down and concentrate them and then give them back to the patients, either in a joint or in a particular disease tissue bed, or even give them intravenously. But the issue is, it's never made sense to me that if you're a sick person and want to utilize your own stem cells, wouldn't it make sense to make these cells more functional
mm-hmm.
before you give them back to heal the tissue? And so that's what I've been preaching at this. And what we now know about nitric oxide is that nitric oxide is what is the signal that our body generates to tell our body to mobilize stem cells from our bone marrow or our fats and go to this tissue and heal it. So if we break an arm or tear a muscle, nitric oxide goes, okay, stem cells, I need you to go here, repair this tissue, build me some new tissue, and get rid of all the bad dysfunctional.
And this is going to be done through your body's own healing system.
That's right, but here's the kicker. If your body can't make nitric oxide,
okay,
then the ability of your own stem cells to heal and regenerate tissue or dysfunctional cells is limited. So I think what we're seeing and what makes sense, both biochemically and physiologically, is, and a lot of patients are doing this now, they take the Neo40 prior to the treatment.
How long?
2 weeks, 30 days, whenever they can get it. And then the function of their own cells and stem cells become more improved. So when you do the stem cell deployment into the tissue or IV, the stem cells work better. So now we've actually restored the function of these stem cells. They're still your body's own stem cells, so there's no issues with rejection or immunity issues. But it just makes sense. So we fix these enzymes, fix the nitric oxide production capacity, allow the stem cells to go in, do their job more efficiently, get better healing, better results. And then most people like the way they feel on the Neo40, so they'll continue to take it indefinitely. But I think that's how, I think, if I look into the future, that's going to be our greatest impact on public health, is not in treating a lot of these chronic degenerative conditions, but I think people are eventually going to wake up and realize they need to take their own health into their own control and do things that are going to be preventative in nature. And I think whether people wait too long and they develop symptoms or illnesses, nitric oxide is certainly going to help them. If stem cells become more pervasive and predominant in the practice of medicine, nitric oxide is certainly going to be a companion to stem cell deployment and mobilization. And our Neo40 is really the only technology out there that makes these cells from dysfunctional to functional, restores enzyme activity, and can improve the whole field of regenerative medicine.
All right, along that line, have there been any studies on dental implants?
In terms of how it affects nitric oxide, not that I'm aware of.
No, if taking nitric oxide before placement of dental implants, because the tissue around dental implants is much different. It's a much more fragile tissue than, say, your hand tissue. It's different from a natural tooth tissue or the tissue around a natural tooth. So my question is, have there been any Neo40 studies before dental implants are placed, like what you're talking about, in regeneration of cells?
We haven't. We don't have any trials ongoing or completed with that. But here's, look, it's basic biology. When you do an extraction and have to put in an implant, there's trauma there.
Right.
And so our body has to heal that incision or that dead space now, either around the implant or allow the tissue to heal and regenerate.
Mm-hmm.
So nitric oxide is still a part of that process.
Okay.
Again, whether it's a torn muscle from a sports injury or whether it's a broken arm or whether it's any type of injury, an extraction and an implant is a type of injury that the body responds to through healing. And nitric oxide is essential for that process.
So that would be good if we would, when we're doing in dental implants, to start 2 weeks to 30 days prior to the placement of the implant, the Neo40?
We do have a number of dentists that use that as part of their protocol. So they're going to go in for some procedure, start them on the Neo40. You actually improve the microcirculation to the gums, to the gingival tissue, even into the bone in the jawline. And so we tell people the day of the procedure, don't take it. We haven't had any issues, but just it's best to lay off one day. And then part of the recovery process, when there's a lot of inflammation from the actual trauma from the surgery, you know, the Neo40 will help squash that inflammation and improve the healing.
Now then, hip fractures have a terrible longevity record where when the person has a hip fracture and then they have the medical implant, their life expectancy is usually generally compromised quite a bit. Have there been any studies on the changing of the outcome of hip fractures with medical implants?
Well, we know nitric oxide is critically important in the activity of osteoblasts and osteoclasts, and these are the two cell types in bones that basically break down and rebuild bone.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's part of that. And so, again, if you lose the ability to make nitric oxide, you lose the specific activity of these cells. But here's probably the biggest public
and,
health
you know, issue. That is huge. That is huge.
The biggest public health issue, one of the biggest, is people using proton pump inhibitors and acid drugs. It's known now, there are a number of studies out there showing that people who take PPIs like Prevacid, Prilosec, Nexium, all these acid reflux drugs, are even over-the-counter now. But they're extremely dangerous. They cause bone resorption, hip fractures. In fact, a study published several years ago showed that people who have been taking these PPIs for 3 to 5 years have about a 30% higher incidence of heart attack and stroke.
Right.
And they do this because mechanistically they inhibit nitric oxide production.
Oh, my gosh.
So they inhibit the enzyme that makes nitric oxide. They actually inhibit stomach acid production, and when we swallow our own saliva, we're getting that's a pathway to make nitric oxide.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are just really, really bad types of drugs that that they're overused, overprescribed, they're over the counter now, and I think people need to be aware of this.
Do you have, what is your studies, what have they shown to be effective ways to correct acid reflux, which is what we're talking about?
Yeah, you know, paradoxically, acid reflux is really it's insufficient stomach acid production.
Right.
And so in order for our body to break down proteins into amino acids and absorb, break down foods, we have to have stomach acid. If we don't have stomach acid, we can't break down proteins, and so we get these peptide fragments that are absorbed across the gut. We elicit an immune response to it, and that's the basis for a lot of autoimmune diseases from lupus to
arthritis,
leaky gut, arthritis. All of these are due to insufficient stomach acid production. So what I tell people is, if you can't make stomach acid, there's a number of reasons. One is iron overload. If you have hemochromatosis, it shuts down stomach acid production. But just take a teaspoon or tablespoon of apple cider vinegar before a meal, because then it'll acidify. It's basically acetic acid. You'll acidify the lumen of the stomach, and then when you eat, you've got stomach acid to break down proteins and then give your body the individual amino acids and nutrients. And many vitamins are absorbed through the stomach, and they require acid to be absorbed. So B vitamins aren't absorbed. Zinc's not absorbed. A lot of these essential trace minerals and vitamins people become deficient in if they're taking these so-called reflux drugs.
Okay. Now, we're getting close to the time. You're planning to visit us again next Sunday, because we have a lot more to cover.
I am. I'll be at the Nitric Oxide Conference in Ventura, California next Sunday, so I'll be doing that from my hotel room. This is, and I'll have, well, the event starts on Sunday, so I won't have much to share, but maybe you'll invite me back after the conference.
Absolutely. Anytime, I'll tell you. You've given us so much information and so much, such help. You know, I ski up at Winter Park, and that's, the town is at 9,000 feet above sea level, and then skiing at 10, 11, and 12, you really have to have a lot of wind in your sails to be able to do that. And, of course, I use the Neo 40 without any problems of having air deficiency at that level. And we had a recent guest. She came from Fort Worth and has always gotten altitude sickness and got her on the Neo 40, and within, I'd say, about 8 hours, she was over it. She always had bad effects from altitude sickness. So this is another thing. What do you find with that?
Yeah, it goes back to how we started the show, Dr. Staffel, and it's about oxygen delivery and how the body utilizes oxygen. And so I just got back from Crested Butte a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, how nice.
Skiing as well. And so, you know, and I've got a group of buddies that, you know, we're all about the same age in our early 40s. And they struggle up there at altitude, and take them, obviously take the Neo 40 up there with me and take it, and then, again, they start feeling fatigue and the effects of the high altitude, they pop a lozenge, and within 10 or 15 minutes, they completely normalize. And, in fact, we've actually been able to demonstrate this through pulse oximetry, so you can take these oximeters, which measures the amount of oxygen in the blood. And when you land at high altitude, within 20 or 30 minutes, your oxygen saturation will drop to 80, 85 sometimes. And so you do that, you pop a lozenge, 10 or 15 minutes later, oxygen saturation is back up to 98%.
All right. Now, I was reading recently that airlines turn off the oxygen generators to save money, like $60,000 a year. And the recommendation was to ask the pilot to turn on the oxygen generators because in a 737, the oxygen level will drop significantly in a plane. Is that still the case, or is that old information? And then, of course, people are more subject to embolism. So
yeah,
what are your studies?
Enough.
What are your studies on planes and changing the oxygen level and decreasing the oxygen generation in airplanes? So when you travel, especially for any length of time, you're really changing the dynamics of these vessels and clotting.
Well, I know they pressurize the cabin, whether it's 21% oxygen room air or 100% oxygen. You know, the air we breathe is 16% oxygen, and the air we exhale is still 16% oxygen. So our body only uses about 5% of the oxygen we inspire.
Really?
That's why we can give CPR to people. It's exhaled breath, but yet there's enough oxygen in our exhaled breath for them to utilize. But here's the issue. Again, if your body can't make nitric oxide, you're not going to be able to efficiently use that oxygen.
Mm.
And you mentioned deep vein thrombosis, so sitting at a compromised oxygen tension, sedentary for many hours, people that are prone to clots typically throw clots, and it's a huge problem for thrombolytic disease and these long flights. So what we've tried to do is educate people that are prone to that. In fact, I never get on an airplane without popping a Neo 40 prior mm-hmm. to takeoff.
Y'all need to have kiosks all over the place, ski places and airports and so on, or you can just buy them out of a machine.
That's right.
Because this is a huge problem. I just can't thank you enough for sharing all this information with you, and looking forward to next week and whatever. You have so much material coming out, and I think if we can get the message out that this is such a simple solution, not a simple necessarily a simple solution, but a very valuable solution of getting oxygen to clearing up your disease cells, possibly affecting cancer outcomes, slowing down anti-aging, and doing that all with something that we normally should have.
Sure, and I think it's worth mentioning, Dr. Staffel, February is considered Heart Health Month, and so we're running a special in February to try to get this, number one, the opportunity to come and educate your listeners on nitric oxide, but we've lowered the price to where they can come to your office and get really a superior product for about 15 to 20% less than what it was offered normally.
Oh, that's terrific.
There's a cost savings, and you can't put a price tag on one's health.
No. Well, it's so interesting. So many of the people that I have that have started on it, they come back constantly, and they order and pick up more and more quantities because they don't want to be without it. Because once you're on it, I think you can really tell the difference. And just when you learn about oxygen and its value of keeping you healthy, it is huge. And then the numbers that you were just talking about, the 60% increase in blood flow in our 50 to 60,000 miles of vessels is just gigantic. That number is one of those things you can't get a hold of.
Well, it's life-changing for sure.
Yes. Well, thank you so very much, and we'll talk to you next week. And thank you very much for your Sunday afternoon, and give our regards to your family. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. So everybody, we'll have another great program next week. Be sure and be listening. I hope this information was valuable to you. It's just marvelous to be able to have a product like this that works so well in helping you in so many ways, in dentistry as well as medicine and general health. Thank you so much. Be talking to you soon. Bye-bye.